Oi, this Marl. Read book, now on 3-0. Okay, bye.
Chapter 30, Assassin's Order. Jade woke up from her late afternoon nap. Her shift delivering food started at 6 at night. Marl did not approve of nighttime deliveries. He had become greatly more protective of Jade since her brush with excessive conjuring. Thus, he had appointed himself as her personal bodyguard. Jade liked to have Marl along at first, but it quickly became tiresome. He did not let her take any shortcuts. He did not let her leave the main roads unless delivery required it. He especially watched her to be sure she did not attempt any conjuring unless in the order hall under Yao Li's direct supervision.
"What do you want me to do?" Marie asked.
"Make him stop following me," Jade pleaded.
"Have you asked him?"
"About 1,000 times, said Jade. "It's like talking to, well, a rock. Watch."
Jade yelled over to Marl, consuming an enormous roast beef sandwich with extra sand.
"Hey, Marl, any chance I can do my deliveries alone at night?"
"Is there chance you stop ask me same stuff?"
answered Marl as he took a monstrous bite.
"You see, he won't let me out of his sight. I've yelled at him a bunch of times, but the best I've gotten is for him to stay about 50 feet behind me," said Jade.
"Would it help any if I told you that he had been following you to and from the order hall every day before you had your little near-death adventure?" asked Marie.
"What?"
"Marl takes his job as your protector very seriously. He has been watching you much closer than you realize. He's been training extremely hard to perfect his camouflage. Rock trolls can shapeshift, well, to a degree, and Marl's been training just to allow you to keep your perceived freedom. Well, that's no small feat. He's been trailing you quite some time now without your knowledge," said Marie.
"I didn't know."
"I didn't think you did. He truly cares for you, Jade. I don't think Marl wants you to know he's been protecting you undercover."
"So, well, why does he have to be right next to me now?"
"You have to remember that Conjuring's new to him as well, and it terrifies him. You should have seen him when you overconjured. He was a mess," said Marie.
"No, really? No, I mean, well, nothing scares Marl. He's not afraid to get hurt or maimed or punched. Well, since we've been here, I've seen him jump into 3 bar fights just to work on his training," said Jade.
"Yes, he's very brave, but bravery does not mean you can't be frightened. Bravery means that you can face fear without it crippling you. He's not scared for himself, but he is terrified of something happening to you. He feels as if he failed you when you overextended yourself. He feels that he somehow should have stopped you."
"Well, that's just dumb. How was he supposed to know I'd collapse?"
"Exactly. If you didn't know, how could he? Unfortunately, he feels guilty about it, and this is his way of compensating for what he sees as his failure. If you want my advice, I just let him go with you and not try to harass him for it. He does it because he cares about you. We all do," said Marie.
"Oh," said Jade.
She shouldered her backpack. Jade tried to remember the last time someone told her that they cared. Seeing her move, Marl lumbered behind her.
"Thanks, Marie." "No problem."
Jade started her normal route toward the Conjurer's Order Hall. Marl lagged behind her. Jade stopped and looked back. Marl did an excellent job blending into the crowd despite his bulk.
"Come on, you big lout, walk with me," she said.
Jade saw movements from the shadow materialize into Marl. He practically skipped up to her.
"You let Marl walk with you?"
he asked.
"Sure. You'll follow me either way, right? At least this will give me someone to talk to other than Fang. She's a great listener, but she doesn't say much."
The tiny cat mewed in response. Mr. Li met them both at the entrance to the order hall.
"Good evening, Jade. Good evening, Marl."
"Hi, Mr. Li. You got deliveries waiting already?" she asked.
"Just one, Jade. Just one. You're going to a shady part of Grandeur tonight, so a little intimidation factor might be nice. Your delivery is to an old friend of mine. It seems that I am not the only one in Grandeur who has noticed your abilities. He stated that he has been watching your skills develop as well." He wants to meet you in person, so let me warn you. He is a bit odd and perhaps intimidating, but he is one of my closest friends. Tonight you're going into the Thieves' District, so I thought you should have a little extra help. Brutus will join you tonight, he said.
Brutus? Asked Jade.
Yes, Brutus, come here, please, said Mr. Lee.
Jade initially thought a bear had stepped out of the hall. On second look, the creature more closely resembled a dog, though this dog must have weighed over 500 pounds.
This is Brutus, said Mr. Lee. He is a modified mastiff, one of my favorite familiars. Brutus, this is Jade.
Nice to meet you, Brutus, Jade said, taking a step back.
A pleasure to meet you as well, Jade, said the dog.
Whoa, you talk, said Marl.
Indeed. Don't all thinking beasts talk in some manner or another? Asked the dog.
Yar, I guess, said Marl. I'm glad we all get along so well, Mr. Lee said. Brutus is loyal, kind, and strong. Also, in case you are blind, he can handle just about anything you are likely to encounter. Since he is my familiar, he can keep me updated on what you are up to on your deliveries, too.
What? Fang's getting demoted? Asked Jade.
Well, she's become more loyal to you than me, even though I made her. The fact that she allowed you to attempt a second conjuring should have clued me to this. I don't want you to get hurt. Please, see this as an old man looking out for a favorite student, not as someone spying on you, he said.
The more the merrier, but will Fang get along with such a large dog? She asked.
When she looked for Fang, she saw the small kitten rubbing her nose against the dog's large paw, purring.
I think they'll be fine, said Yao.
If you don't mind, Yao, I think I might appear a bit overbearing for this streets, don't you? Said Brutus.
That's kind of the point, B, said Yao.
Well, then, just make it so that I can return to form if I have to, said Brutus.
No respect from my students, my cat likes Jade more than me, and now my dog is telling me what to do, Yao said dramatically.
Yao then performed a quick gesture, and Brutus decreased in size. He still looked like a massive 200-pound dog, but at least he did not look abnormal.
Say hello to Slicey for me, said Yao as he walked back into the order hall.
Can I say hello by biting off his arm? Brutus growled for emphasis.
Be nice. That clown has saved all our hides more than once, despite his biting disposition.
I'll bite him right in his disposition, grumbled Brutus.
Jade walked around to the rear of the order hall and picked up her night's delivery. Jade had tried to make friends with everyone in the order. This became much easier after her fall from greatness with her accidental, excessive conjuring. A few members rejoiced at seeing the new upstart taken down a peg. She picked up her food for delivery and the address.
If he's so worried, why doesn't Yao just come with us? Jade asked Brutus.
Yao is head of the Conjurer's Order. He wouldn't be allowed where we're going. By sending me, he's looking out for you.
I can keep Jade safe, said the rock troll.
No doubt you could, my rugged friend, but I can instantly call for backup if needed. When I see, Yao sees. Plus, Yao has been around for quite some time. I have accompanied him on most journeys, so Mo should recognize me as an extension of him. He is well respected, so I doubt we will come across any trouble, said the dog.
Oi, you smart pooch, said Marl.
Thank you. Also, Jade, you might want to make Fang slightly more intimidating as long as we're going to the Thieves' District, said Brutus,
a line of slobber stretching to the ground with his grin. Jade nodded. She concentrated, and Fang enlarged to a black tiger with white stripes. Fang roared in approval. The delivery consisted of several meals, as well as a few pies, which caused Jade to grin. She looked at Marl, and he laughed.
"Dat what got you in dis mess in the first place," he laughed again.
"Let's go,"
she said. The girl, rock troll, cat familiar, and dog familiar took off into the night. Jade had learned the local neighborhoods quite well by now. She also knew most of the back roads and shortcuts to get around the city. This address, however, was deep in the thieves' district. She made idle chatter with Brutus and Marl as she walked toward the rougher side of the town. Jade felt much happier about her decision to keep Marl close. As they traveled, fewer people walked the streets. The people still outside hid in their cloaks, trying not to make eye contact with anyone around them. Brutus had stopped talking some time ago, without Jade realizing it. She looked over at the dog and started to say something, but Brutus glanced at her quickly and shook his head. It then struck her. He wanted to appear to be just a dog, not a smart familiar that could enlarge in size and communicate with the most powerful conjurer in the entire country. Jade was good at reading looks. A man staggered down the road. The foursome made their way to the opposite side of the road. The man also tripped his way to the other side. Brutus stepped in front of the others and growled, staring right at the drunk. The dog grew in size. The man looked up at the large dog and suddenly became sober, walking without difficulty to the opposite side of the street.
Punk, grumbled Brutus under his breath.
They made it the rest of their way to their destination without incident. The building added a menace of its own on an already intimidating street. The steel numbers of the address glinted against the black building in the moonlight. It was a fortress. The only windows it had were on the second and third floors, all of which were covered with thick bars. The windows also had a black tint to them, which prevented anyone from seeing inside. Other than the numbers outside, the building had no markings. Everything about the edifice exuded a feeling of secrecy, deceit, and malice. The doorbell, however, made a laughing sound when Jade rang it. A small slit opened in the door, a pair of eyes peering out.
"State your business," hissed the man.
"Delivery for Slicey?" said Jade.
"Wait here,"
he said, followed by the slam of the slit. After a brief pause, the door opened and the foursome entered.
"Follow me," said a man dressed in black.
20 dark figures in black cloaks stood silently. Jade walked down a hall, passing the figures. Only their eyes could be seen. Not one made a noise, not a whisper, not a cough, not a sniffle, not even a scuffle of feet. The hall remained eerily quiet.
"Jade, me not like this place," said Marl, his voice a low whisper.
They followed the man down numerous turns. The halls in the building all curved, which quickly disoriented Jade. The man came to a large black door. The door had 30 deadbolt latches on the side. Each of the locks had vertically oriented latches that could be turned in either direction. The man rapidly turned the latches, some to the right and others to the left, in rapid succession. He then opened the door and continued. The group followed. The door automatically shut behind them, and they heard the snaps of all the locks going back into place on their own. The man turned down various hallways. They followed through the twists and turns until they were hopelessly lost. Finally, they came to a bizarre door. The door appeared to be made of clear gelatin. Suspended in the gelatin were hundreds of keys of all shapes and sizes, with 3 keyholes on the left side of the door. The man in black recited a poem as his hand moved up, down, left, and then down, just short of touching the gelatin. The man held his breath and slowly reached into the substance and pulled out a key. He inserted the first key into the top keyhole and turned it with a loud clack. He repeated the process 2 more times, each time reciting a sing-song poem that Jade assumed helped him remember which keys were the appropriate ones. After the third key was inserted, the door opened slowly.
"Why so much secrecy when it's inside your own place?" Jade asked the man in black.
He did not respond. They finally entered a very small room. The man closed the door immediately after they were inside, including him. With the door shut, The room became dim. Only a slight red light from the back of the room allowed any vision.
"What are you doing?" said Jade.
The man again said nothing and walked to the rear of the room. Hundreds of small pegs stuck out from the wall, and he adjusted a few of them. Jade felt the whole room shift. It was not a small room, but a large dumbwaiter. After a few minutes in the dark and quiet, the dumbwaiter stopped and the door opened. They walked into an empty white room. The only thing in the room were the elevator at one side and a black door at the other. The entire room gleamed white except for the door. The door was covered in sticky, fresh black paint. A small knocker was the only thing on the door. No hinges could be seen, nor was there a doorknob. The man in black pulled back the hood that had been cloaking his face the entire time. He appeared extremely nervous. His acne-riddled, oily face glinted in the torchlight. He took a long, deep breath, apparently to steady his nerves. With his index finger and his thumb, he grabbed the metal knocker and created a unique rhythm. It seemed as if he played a song only known to him as he continued to knock fast, then slow, followed by a hard, then soft, and pausing, only to start again with a different rhythm. Finally, he stopped. The man stepped away from the door. The door melted away and faded into nothing. The knocker on the door fell to the ground with a clang. The man pointed.
"Go quickly. Just through the next door is your location. Do not come back this way," he said.
The group walked into the next room. The man in black picked up the fallen knocker. He held it in midair when the sticky blackness reappeared. They were now alone.
"Okay, that was weird," said Jade.
"Me still no like this place, Jade," said Marl.
"What do you think this stuff is?" said Jade, walking toward the previous sticky door.
"Jade, do not touch it," grumbled Brutus.
The large dog had clamped down on the back of her pants and tugged her off her feet. She landed on her behind with a grunt.
"No need to bite my butt off, jeez," said Jade.
"If you touch that stuff, I might have to. That's shadow ooze. If you get that on your skin, it burns, and it continues to burn till there's nothing left to consume. Even a small amount on the tip of your finger can be enough to work its way through your entire body. Just stay away," said Brutus.
Jade retreated from the inky door. They walked to the other side of the room, where a plain wooden door with a normal doorknob stood. The door had a small piece of paper taped to it. Jade took the paper off the door and opened it. It had one phrase: "Shave and a haircut." Jade flipped over the note. Nothing else was on it, just those words written in thick strokes in red. Jade knocked on the door. The group waited. She knocked on the door again, with no response. She flipped over the note and looked at it once more and knocked a third time. Knock, 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 knock.
"Hello,"
sang a voice as the door opened wide. Despite the cheery voice, Jade still expected a man dressed in black robe, and he was. However, as he moved forward, she glimpsed under the robes, seeing myriad colors. Bright purples, yellows, and happy hues all clashed on his pants. His shirt similarly had a colorful diamond pattern of all colors. He quickly pulled the robe closed. His face had many white blotches. His left eye had a vertical scar through the top and bottom eyelid. If he was supposed to look like a clown, well, no one was laughing.
"Wonderful! The food has arrived! I have been craving a good pie for some time. Please come in."
"Are you Slicey?" asked Jade.
"I, young lady, am the previous fool of the ill-mannered king whom your acquaintance has not yet met, yet at the same time whose destiny all our futures, including our very lives, may still hang in the balance. I earned a glorious reputation as the sensational scintillating Slicey the Great, first of the Elite 25, and the first to achieve a 10th level blade mastery. And you, young lady, are very lucky to be alive," he said with a bow.
Thanks for listening. That's the end of chapter 30. If you love it, please click like and subscribe or leave a comment. And if you absolutely love the book, remember you can always buy it both on Kindle or on Amazon. We'll see you next Monday.